The scandal of hundreds of thousands of children dying unnecessarily from AIDS-related diseases is the focus of an international conference going on in Rome this week. The three-day seminar brings together influential voices from the Vatican, the United Nations, major drug companies, non-governmental organizations, and religious networks working in the field of HIV/AIDS care and prevention. The meeting, which opened on Wednesday, has been jointly organized by the U.S. Embassy to the Holy See and the global aid and development network Caritas Internationalis. Leslie Ann Knight is Secretary General of the Caritas Confederation, which first identified AIDS as a priority for development work 2 decades ago.
This particular event is raising awareness above all of the situation, notably in Africa, but also in other developing countries of the world, of the prevalence of HIV and related illnesses like TB in infants and children, and the total lack really of awareness of how we can very easily prevent children contracting HIV from their mothers, often in the womb, but normally after birth, through medicines that are appropriate for them.
What kind of success have you had so far? Because you've been waging this campaign for quite a while now, haven't you?
I think we're starting to see the fruits of collaboration, not only across all of our Catholic organisations and other faith-based organisations in this, but our collaboration notably with UNAIDS, with the WHO TB departments, and with governments as far as we are able, either in the countries we work, but notably to, like with through our embassy here of the United States to the Holy See, but our organizations who have had contact over now quite a few years with the program of the United States government, notably in Africa. And you'll recall that was set up by the previous president and has now been continued as well by President Obama. These are resources, financial resources, that we are constantly requesting be channeled to Catholic and faith-based organizations, given the value of the work that we do. So I would say there is a long way to go, but we know we have successes. We have countries in Africa which are starting to show a reduction now in the incidence of infants being born with HIV, but also the survival rate of little ones after birth.
We've actually heard that it is going to be possible, it should be possible even right now, to eliminate the possibility of a child being born with HIV/AIDS.
It is possible to eliminate that. If we are able to screen mothers, to test mothers while they're pregnant, if we can detect a mother in her pregnancy as being at risk of passing the virus onto her child, first and foremost, we can treat that mother before the child is born. We can treat the child then immediately after the birth. If we are able to, at, say, 18 months or 2 years of that child's life, then adapt the medicines, that child has an excellent chance of surviving it. What we need, though, is, and this is part of our campaign as Caritas now, is to encourage first and foremost pharmaceutical companies to hear this, to hear the fact that we do not have appropriate medicines for babies and for small children. We don't have the resources that it would take. And as we've heard already just in the first hour or so of this conference, it's a lot more than simply providing medicines. We need as well to be able to care for the whole person. A small baby or a mother taking very heavy doses of antiretroviral drugs needs proper nutrition. They need adequate food. They need clean water. They also need assistance in being able to come for regular checks to clinics, say. That means transport. All of this is part of a holistic program. That's the key to success.
You're talking about the vital importance of early diagnosis and testing, and yet, as you well know, so often this is a gender issue, isn't it? In so many of these countries, women just simply aren't able to come forward for this kind of testing for fear of the stigmatization that they face.
And that is our biggest problem. So to be, especially as a Catholic faith organization, compassionate and non-judgmental in raising awareness of this, we need to start with our own clergy, with our men, to say if you do not enable or allow your women to come for testing, if you then stigmatize and discriminate against them, you are prejudicing the survival of subsequent generations and the lives of your own children.
Putting children first is also the message being emphasized by the U.S. government representatives at this conference. Miguel Diaz is the new U.S. ambassador to the Holy See. He told me the Obama administration is firmly committed to working with all faith communities to try and combat the scourge of AIDS, especially amongst the youngest and most vulnerable members of society.
We are turning faith dialogue into service on behalf of children. So we are literally building bridges with a number of organizations, especially with clearly Caritas Internationalis and other organizations that have come together for this great cause. And so this is as we have all heard this morning, this is an important issue for us to address. It is an important issue because it combines, number one, in terms of the United States, we are the largest donor global aid organization, and we are teaming up with the church, the world's largest delivery organization. And we are doing this on behalf of children. And I think that the message that we want to send today is that, again, cooperation among different entities is essential, that early treatment, diagnosis is essential for on behalf of the children, and that this is a worthy cause that can join us, people from different perspectives, people from even different faiths, on behalf of the children of the world.
Effective partnership between governments and faith-based organizations was at the heart of other keynote speeches at the conference, notably the executive director of the Geneva-based UNAIDS, Michel Sidibe from Mali.
Eliminating mother-to-child transmission is critical, is important, because it is the only way to have an AIDS-free generation. AIDS-free generation is the beginning of the end of HIV/AIDS. We cannot continue to have 300,000 babies born every year in Africa with HIV.
The UN leader stressed that the Church's uncompromising stand on social justice and its leadership at local level must be a key part of what he called AIDS prevention diplomacy, enabling and empowering local communities to draw up long-term care and prevention programs. But he also acknowledged that while faith-based organizations are often providing between half and three quarters of all AIDS services, those organizations rarely receive more than 5% of the funding from donor countries. It's a serious problem which sisters Mauro Donohue and Isabel Smith have experienced firsthand in the many African countries where their medical missionaries of Mary are working.
Well, our sisters are working, medical missionaries of Mary are working in Ethiopia, particularly in Uganda, in Malawi, in Nigeria, in Tanzania and in Kenya on HIV/AIDS work. And in a number of these, we're linking it up with the anti-trafficking issue.
We're hearing that although the church as a whole is providing a vast amount of the care and prevention work, it's only receiving a very minimal amount of the funding.
And that is something that has been acknowledged for up to 20 years back. I was attending the management board for HIV in UNAIDS, in UN, World Health Organization, many years ago from CAFOD, the English Caritas. And there we were lobbying at that stage in the 1980s for more money to be given to the NGOs, particularly the faith-based organizations under the auspices of the Catholic Church, to be given more funds. They were given something like 5% of the funds that were available, and that was after lobbying.
20 years on, though, how much has that changed?
It hasn't. Really, it has not changed. We get a little bit more, but we get free drugs, and that's due to intervention by UNAIDS, all right. Free drugs, free testing, which we lobbied pharmaceutical companies for, etc. But we do not get any funds for the extras that are involved with promoting or implementing the program PEPFAR by the US government. And they will provide the drugs free, but you have to give them detailed statistics, you have to fill multiple forms, you have to provide all the transport costs, the personnel costs, etc., for the whole extra administration. And there are no funds available for that.
The administrative work is enormous. Like, the governments require you to have at least 95% adherence once you put a client on ARVs. Now, the administrative work of ensuring 95% adherence, and if you can't give your statistical report to your government monthly, then you will not get your ARVs. So the amount of staff that involves, you have to have computers to do that, you have to be able to transport that information back to your base, and you have been out all day under a tree collecting this information, training your volunteers who come from the Christian communities, and those people are working for free. That's not even taken into consideration. The willingness, the generosity, the way those people put their faith into practice, both by using our liturgical services to announce the services that are available, and then training and following through, indicating to the trained workers where the people are needed. And the important thing is that helping HIV means from pre-birth to end of life. The range of services needed is enormous.
So Sister Isabel, you're talking about almost a hindrance, a difficulty in the partnership, working with, on the one hand, the government funding, the money which is coming through PEPFAR and other organisations, and the money must come from them because they're the only ones with this kind of funding available. The church simply doesn't have that.
Yes.
And yet at the same time you're saying it's an obstacle, it's a hindrance to the valuable, the invaluable work that you and other missionaries like you are doing in the field. What is the solution?
Well, don't for one minute think that we're not grateful or appreciative of the work of PEPFAR and the governments. You must keep statistics, you must do your research, you must have statistics in order to do your research, and that is essential. It is the question of funding for the collection of that information and the processing of it. That's the only complaint, is that we get the funding for the drugs, but we don't get the funding for the transport and the administrative costs, and most of all, we don't get the funding for nutrition. When the person goes on their antiretroviral therapy, they're going to feel better, they're going to want to eat more, and until they're well enough to earn what will bring in that food, they need social support.
The question of nutrition, the question of clean water, Sister Maura, this is a really vital issue, isn't it?
Yes.
Because often the drugs companies or the government programs think that if the money is going on to antiretrovirals, then the problem is solved.
Exactly, and in no way is it, because the issues are so immense. As you say, a lack of clean water, a lack of paediatric drugs, which was mentioned this morning. Like, I've sat beside some of our doctors in clinics and nurses in clinics giving out medicines which were prepared for adults and instructing patients who come from rural areas, many of them illiterate, telling them half a tablet in the morning and a quarter of a tablet in the evening for this child, and they've nothing to cut the tablet with. And that leads to overdosage and underdosage and so many complications.
But a good thing here is that the pharmaceutical companies are present and they're getting a strong message that they must have child-sized dosage.
Yes.
And that's going to make a huge difference to missionaries in the field.
One of the key aims of this Rome conference is to bring together the many different religious and secular organisations focused on the specific goal of eliminating mother-to-child transmission of the HIV virus. Their success will largely depend upon the degree to which they're able to better coordinate and pressure donors and drugs manufacturers to support their work with individuals and families in the remotest and poorest parts of Africa. Father David Glenday is Secretary General of the Union of Superiors General, which together with its female counterpart represents some 800,000 religious men and women working in countries around the world.
There's a lot of work to be done in that area, and I think people are becoming more and more aware of it. Actually, the challenge is maybe further back than that. The challenge is to know what is happening and to know what each other are doing and to see how we can do some of these things better together. So one of the first things that our HIV/AIDS working group did was an initial exercise in mapping, finding out what is going on. But there's a feeling that that has to be developed, and in collaboration with other entities, there may be a new effort at mapping. Also because we sense that even though
we don't seek visibility. On the contrary, we tend not to care too much about it. Sometimes visibility can be an advantage for the work we are doing. For example, if funding agencies and governments don't know that we are there, how are they going to give us resources? Somebody said today, resources won't fall from heaven. You have to make your case, and that's... It's not because we want to get resources, it's because we want to serve, and sometimes resources are necessary to do so.
It is true, isn't it, though, that the funding that goes to church organisations or faith-based organisations is very small compared to the percentage of work that they're doing.
Yes, well, that point's been made, interestingly, not so much by us today as by others. For example, the UN AID Executive Director, Michel Sidibé, was saying, you know, that there is this disproportion and that this doesn't make sense in terms of meeting the problem. And, of course, we would say yes, and our women and men are involved in all aspects. You know, we are present in the pastoral care, where a lot can be done in terms of prevention, in terms of proposals of behavior change. We are present in education. We are present in the social work. So it really is a very many-sided and potentially powerful presence that needs to be strengthened. Yeah.
If you had one appeal that you could make to those listening to the program, to those who are interested in this kind of HIV, AIDS care and prevention work, What would it be?
Well, it would be to take whatever opportunities they have to influence those who have power, those who have resources, to focus on this particular need now, so that there should be no way that a child contracts AIDS because the mother has AIDS. That's the focus of this campaign. And maybe people need to find out about this, and they can do this by... The internet is a great place. Caritas Internationalis, who is a big power behind this campaign, has a very good website. So I would say information, conscientization, becoming aware, and then using one's influence to push people to solve this problem so that innocent children need not be afflicted in this way.
My thanks there to Comboni Father David Glenday, to Sisters Maura O'Donoghue and Isabel Smith of the Medical Missionaries of Mary, to US Ambassador to the Holy See Miguel Diaz, and to Leslie Ann Knight, Secretary General of Caritas Internationalis. And for further details about that conference, you can look up the Caritas website, www.caritas.org.